Sanibonani Ninjani. I will read from Holy Hill in the middle of the book where Nana meets Claude after a brief. They meet briefly at a Langeni hotel and then 2 weeks later they meet again. This is their meeting. I keep thinking about you, he said, looking straight into her eyes. I thought you were never coming back, Nana said to his sleeve. He noticed that she moved her chair slightly away from him. This place is far. Next time you can come to town, his voice sang as if he had not finished speaking. Town was out of the question for her, Nana told him. It's too far for her to drive. Then she added, you're late. Tardiness was the only habit she could not tolerate in anybody, including herself. Sorry, I was at the bank here. They don't want to cash my check. Was there the whole hour. They say I need a South African ID. Look at this check. He flashed a check written out to A.M. Williams and quickly put it back into his crocodile skin wallet. Nana had the feeling the wallet, like the check, was not his. It didn't go with him. It was too soft, very feminine. His beautiful lips were open. She watched them, hearing his voice in the distance. It's guarantee, you see, and they don't want my refugee permit. She really didn't care. He told her tales of how he had gone to Joburg to play football and was between clubs. These people wanted to cheat him, but he was good. They would sign him up soon. His father, he said, had businesses in Joburg and wanted to expand in Durban. That was the main reason he had come to Durban, he added. Nana knew it was all lies. She didn't even try for the truth. He explained he couldn't find another job because he was not allowed to work. He shrugged helplessly. I'm just a foreigner here. Let me see. Nana picked up the photocopy of the permit that he pulled out of his pocket. It still had 5 months left. His age was recorded as 26. She was relieved, though she suspected the ID was forged. He had to renew the permit every 6 months, he told her, and had to carry him with him all the time. Excuse me. Everybody has to carry some ID here. You're not special, Nana said coldly, irritated and disappointed by his whining. Sorry to do this, but we can leave. Then I do something special for you tomorrow. The bank in town, they cash it for me. Today I rush here, I didn't have any cash. It's okay, we can stay. It's just coffee, Nana offered brightly. He sighed, sitting back in his chair. You sure? I feel so bad. Don't. You look nice. Nana was glad he had noticed a tailored pants and short silk t-shirt with a silk scarf. He inhaled her opium perfume provided by Maxwell. He was sure she had money. Thanks, you too. Nana looked at him. She wanted to touch his smooth black face. You're beautiful, you're pretty, he said, surprised, his brown eyes warm. Don't say that, Nana shook her head in her mind, hearing the sisters. Pretty, pretty what, pretty where? Pretty to grow up to be the rubbish I made for sources to wipe their dirty boots on. Sister Dominique, her chest heaving. Claude ordered a cappuccino. Nana had already ordered a carrot muffin and filter coffee with the juice. Her mind drifted briefly. She could feel the walls tightening around her. She nearly screamed. I wanted to tell her again. It's him! Eh? He looked at her startled. She shrugged, lost, not sure if she had said anything out loud, watching him take off his soft brown leather jacket, his muscles defined and lean under his t-shirt. Claude rose slightly to move his chair closer to Nana's. Nana could feel his thigh and foot against hers. She inhaled his cologne, woody and spicy, one she didn't recognize, something new. You want some? It's so big, she said, offering him the gigantic carrot muffin the waitress had put on the table. You like big things, he said seductively. Nana could feel his fingers at the back of her neck, his breath blowing the small hairs at the nape. Then a muffin, you want some? She said impatiently. Not much, eh? Just small. I'm careful. I don't want a stomach. Her eyes followed his hand, patting his stomach. A its defined ridges. She'd never seen a six-pack in real life. She needed to breathe. "Feed me," he said, his left arm hanging loosely behind a chair. "What?" Nana was almost panting. "Feed me." She shook her head, reaching for a fork. "With your hand," he grasped her wrist lightly. The fork released itself from her grip. Guiltily, she looked around, trying to suppress the giggle in her throat, feeling like she should have felt in high school, blissfully anticipating. What if somebody she knew were to see her feeding some lolly boy in a restaurant? She did it anyway, her eyes on his generous and juicy lips like sweet ripe black plums. She felt an urge to bite into them. When they closed on her fingers, reaching and licking as if she'd fed him liquid, her insides melted and jumped. She snatched her hand away. Her orange juice tasted sour, but she swallowed it quickly, her mouth suddenly dry. Claude kept looking at her disconcerting eyes, fascinated. When she looked up, her eyes met as if watching themselves. He reached out and removed her big reading glasses. Looking straight at her, he was silent, thinking she could be attractive if she tried. Nana continued to feed him the whole muffin, catching his every word because of his sing-song speech. She didn't want to miss the rhythm, no meaning. Moving his chair closer, he put his arm around her waist. "You see, we look good together. We look like the same person. We need to take a picture, see?" Nana looked in the mirror, her brown face against his black one, like shades of chocolate blending together. She didn't want to take a picture, to have the evidence of her vacant eyes. Thank you.